few weeks ago, I came across the conversion story of the Venerable Herman Cohen, also known as Father Augustine Marie of the Blessed Sacrament, a brilliant musician who was born to Jewish parents in 19th century Germany. By the age of 12, Herman was performing concerts across Paris, even playing for the king and queen. He became an instant star, and everyone was charmed by this young prodigy, but the fame and fortune were detrimental to his character. With his connections and wealth, nothing stopped this young teenager from living out every whim and pleasure imaginable as he traveled across Europe. Herman remained immersed in his lifestyle until May of 1847, when his life changed radically. A friend asked him to be a substitute choir director for a benediction service held at a local Catholic church. Despite being Jewish and holding no religious leanings at the time, he needed the money, so he took up the offer. Throughout the service, he was unmoved until the moment of benediction. As the priest held up the monstrance to bless the people, something deep within him stirred him to the core. Even after leaving the church, he could not shake the disturbance that had arisen in his soul. He returned to this church 1 week later for another benediction, and at that moment he was again inwardly unsettled, but this time tears suddenly poured down his face. He found himself being drawn to the church almost daily, often arriving either at the time of Mass or benediction service. In the presence of the consecrated host, he would find himself trembling, yet filled with a mysterious sense of inner peace and joy. He finally told a friend about these experiences and was introduced to a Catholic priest. In 1847, Herman was baptized, received the sacraments of the Eucharist and Confirmation, and in 1851 was ordained a priest in a Carmelite order. Father Augustine was well known throughout Europe for his preaching, his love for the Eucharist and the Blessed Sacrament, often establishing nocturnal adoration in the many places that he had traveled to. His name is listed as one of the earliest miracle cures in Lourdes, which he had visited for a serious eye ailment in 1868. And among his contemporaries were St. Benedict of Lourdes, St. Jean Jugin, the founder of the Little Sisters of the Poor, the Cure d'Ars, St. John Vianney, and Blessed Frederick Ozam, the founder of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. On the onset of the Franco-Prussian War in 1870, Father Augustine had volunteered to serve as a chaplain, and he was sent to Germany. Knowing the dangers of this post, he predicted that this would be his last assignment, yet he gladly accepted it. He worked among thousands of French prisoners of war, caring for them, hearing confessions, and administering the other sacraments. Sadly, he contracted smallpox and died on January 20, 1871. Friends, over the past several Sundays, we've been hearing Jesus speak about the kingdom of heaven in a series of parables. These readings are meant to encourage those who have answered Jesus' call to love him above all others, to lose one's life for his sake, to take up one's cross and follow him, despite the challenges and sacrifices of discipleship. From the soul whose crop is innumerable, the mustard seed that blooms into a magnificent bush, and to the fullness of the leavened bread, Jesus sets out to teach his disciples that the kingdom of heaven is something so wonderful, so joyful, and so resplendent with the efficacious nature of God's grace. So how can we, who have answered our Lord's call to take up his yoke, experience God's transformative grace to grow in our faith and our measure of discipleship? In today's parables, Jesus gives us that answer. We hear of a farmer who stumbles upon buried treasure while tilling the land, and a well-to-do merchant whose search for the pearl of his dreams pans out in a marketplace. At first glance, it may sound that the kingdom of heaven is like the treasure or the pearl, something that projects a high value that expresses incalculable wealth. However, Jesus' message is more than obtaining something worldly. As with all of Jesus' parables, there is a spiritual lesson to be discerned. When the farmer and the merchant made their discoveries, they did not rationalize about it, they did not think about it or reflect upon it. They immediately perceived incalculable wealth of what they had found, and they were prepared to lose everything to achieve it. This is the joy of discovering the kingdom. Those who find it have no doubts. They sense that this is what they have been seeking and waiting for, and this is what fulfills their most authentic aspirations. The treasure gave the farmer more satisfaction than the most bountiful of harvests. The pearl gave the merchant the success he was toiling for. Jesus challenges us to believe and trust that the kingdom of heaven is more valuable than anything else we have. And when we find it, we must be willing to give up everything to obtain it. These parables also reveal a characteristic of discipleship: searching. The farmer for good land to till, the merchant for that marketplace. They speak about the Christian search for meaning. It's about a quest for something more precious, more valuable, more meaningful, more life-changing that we can fathom: God's will in our lives. Find that, and you have found the buried treasure and the pearl of great price. Perhaps our search may be like the farmer walking across the same field as everyone else, but somehow can see below the surface and notice the treasure that is just below the surface. Or maybe our search is like the merchant wandering the market like all the other merchants, examining pearl after pearl, yet be the one who can pick out the pearl of great price, hidden in plain sight. So what is Jesus telling us to search for? Search for him. The kingdom of heaven makes itself present in the very person of Jesus. Jesus is the hidden treasure. Jesus is the pearl of great price that inspires joy, the joy of discovering a meaning in life, the joy of committing oneself to the adventure of discipleship, the joy of having a personal relationship with him. The comparison between the kingdom of heaven and great earthly treasure helps us understand that having a personal relationship with Jesus is worth more than whatever we need to give up in order to respond to it. And it's not just about selling possessions. It's about repentance. It's about daily conversion. It's about faithfully living the teachings of the church. It's about giving up those attitudes and behaviors that separate us from the love that Jesus shares with us. It's about being committed to the relationship that Jesus calls us to live in with him. It's about embracing God's will in our lives. Trust and believe that only Jesus can give us the peace and purpose that we so energetically seek everywhere else. And Jesus assures us that we always will get more than what we give up in discipleship: God's transformative grace. Something that Herman Cohen shared in a letter to a friend shortly after his conversion. "I looked for happiness everywhere, in the elegant life of the saloons, and the deafening noise of balls and parties, in accumulating money, in excitement of gambling, in artistic glory, in friendship with famous people, in the pleasures of the senses. Now I have found happiness, I have an overflowing heart, and I want to share it with you. You say, however, 'But I don't believe in Jesus Christ.' And I say to you, 'Neither did I. And that is why I was unhappy.'" Friends, Jesus tells us where your treasure is, there also will be your heart. And today's gospel reminds us of whom that treasure is. So as we leave Mass today, inspired by the Word of God and strengthened by the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, what steps can we take to always seek Jesus' presence in our lives? To remove those things which limit our ability to experience God's grace, so that we may grow in our faith and share that joy with others.